Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It's Wednesday, October 15th, 2014. The sun is shining in beautiful Clearwater, Florida. Beautiful autumn day. And my guest today is a textile certification specialist who certifies textiles and textile products. Well, I guess she'll tell us. But what she does is she works with the Global Organic Textile Standard as a certifier. And you may have seen this seal on some products or textiles. And she's the one that makes sure it's organic. So we're going to learn today about what a certifier does, what makes it organic, and anything else she wants to tell us about the certification program. Her name is Carlin Warner, and she's the textile certification specialist for OneCert Incorporated, organic certification company in Lincoln, Nebraska. Hi, Carlin.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being on. And I do want to say that I think that your photo, and listeners, if you haven't seen her photo, if you haven't been to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com, her photo is lovely because I had to make it small so you can't see all of it. She's got a beautiful textile wrapped around her neck. And that it just, her photo just really embodies what she does.
Yeah,
good job, Carl.
Actually, a gift from a friend, and it was selected, I think, because of my love for organic cotton. And so it's an organic cotton scarf, and it's like all natural colors, and I love it.
I love it too. I just looked at it and went, that's beautiful. Anyway, tell us, first of all, tell us about the Global Organic Textile Standard. It's called GOTS for short. So if you ever hear anybody say GOTS, G-O-T-S, or if you see that in print, it's the Global Organic Textile Standard. Tell us about that.
Sure. I guess in a nutshell, the Global Organic Textile Standard, and again, GOTS, that's probably what I'll call it the rest of the segment, is a organic standard that includes some other criteria. It's not only tracing the organic content of a product from each step in the supply chain, but it also includes some criteria regarding the toxicity of chemicals that are used. It also includes social criteria, so it's almost a little bit of a fair trade type of standard that's included into that. It includes some environmental and wastewater type practices as well. So it's interesting that it's called the global standard because it's used globally, but it's also all encompassing. It kind of includes a lot of different pieces to make a really good quality product.
There's other questions I want to ask you, but I just want to jump in with this one and ask, isn't it difficult to be evaluating all those different things? Like, I know for myself, I understand all the different things that you just described, the environmental effects and fair trade and everything. And as a consumer advocate, there was a point in my life where I said, well, I need to consider all these things, but it was just too difficult for me to evaluate products and have, at least at that time, I think things have changed. It was just too difficult to say, well, something has to be non-toxic and fair trade and environmental and recycled and, you know, whatever it happened to be. And I ended up with, like, nothing that qualified for all those things. I think the situation has changed now because this was about 15 years ago I was trying to do this. But I finally decided I'm just going to take one thing. I'm just going to look at toxics and make sure that people can identify what's toxic. And then if they want to look at those other aspects, or I should say, what's toxic free. And if they want to then look at those other aspects, they can. But for me, I think that toxics is the most important thing. But do you really find in your work that you can evaluate all those things and find products, obviously, that meet all those standards?
I do think it's possible. It definitely has been a learning curve for me. I came to this with a textile background, so I had to learn a lot about how to evaluate the social criteria and some of the other aspects.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you didn't have a standard that you were evaluating something to, it would be really difficult to, like you mentioned, to know that it's not toxic and that it's fair trade and that it's organic, it gets complicated to keep track of all of those pieces. But having one standard that has all the criteria does make it a little bit easier.
Yes, it. I think that if people knew that about the GOTS standard, that it encompassed all those things, then they could say, oh, well, now this is covered. If I see that seal, I know that it's non-toxic, that it's, it has environmental benefits, it's fair trade, and that's encompassed in the standard. So how did you get interested personally in being a certifier?
Well, like I mentioned, I went to school for textiles. My degrees are in textile science, so it was a lot more on the chemistry and textile testing side of the textiles industry.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was finishing my master's degree, I was working on a thesis project for a more eco-friendly and less toxic wrinkle-free finish for silk. So it was a finish that was primarily using citric acid as the active ingredient rather than formaldehyde.
Mm-hmm.
And so just kind of doing the research for that project really got me thinking about, well, what other things could we be doing differently to be less toxic and to make less of an impact on the environment? And so I actually, through like an email or something, I got asked if I was interested in helping OneCert get their organic textiles program started and rolling, because they were just starting to explore that at that point. So I started part-time while I was working on my degree, and then it's pretty much history from there. I just found that I really liked it, and I kind of just went with it.
Well, you know, sometimes those things just appear in life, those right things. While you were talking, I was thinking that consumers, that your job, in a way, you're a certifier. Your job is to say this product is, it meets this standard. But as consumers, we kind of go through the same process in terms of saying, well, we want something that's, say, toxic-free. Then we have to be able to have our own standard and say, this product doesn't have this and this and this and this in it. And so in a sense, we're all certifiers. We're certifying to ourselves. And that for everybody, there needs to be a standard. So tell us something about the Global Organic Textiles Standard, specifically about toxics.
Specifically,
what are they looking for? Yeah.
Sure. I guess the most specific part about toxics in the Global Organic Textile Standard is the prohibited and restricted input. So within the standard, there is a list of chemical ingredients that cannot be used in processing of these organic textiles. So, for example, I already mentioned formaldehyde, and that's one of them. And genetically modified organisms cannot be used. And heavy metals, and plasticizers, like phthalates, that's been in the news a lot lately. There's a whole list of these things that cannot be used. So that's one part of it, is that GOTS prohibits these chemicals specifically, and then those that aren't explicitly listed also have to be evaluated according to some additional criteria. Additional criteria, mostly relating to aquatic toxicity and oral toxicity and biodegradability.
So what you're doing is that you're looking to make sure that a product does not contain the prohibited list, but then there might be some other chemicals, and so if other chemicals are being used, you need to evaluate their toxicity.
Yes. So even if it's something that's not on the prohibited list, it still has to meet this other criteria.
Yeah, you know, that's very similar to what I do as a consumer advocate, but I'm not a certifier like you are. We need to go to break, but we'll talk more about this when we come back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Carlin Warner, Textile Certification Specialist for OneCert in Lincoln, Nebraska. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Carlin Warner, She's a textile certification specialist for OneCert, an organic certification company in Lincoln, Nebraska. So, Carlin, how do you, actually, we have some static on the line. Can you say something? Let's just do a little test. Can you speak up more than you've been, a little louder than you've been speaking, and we can get rid of that static?
Sure, I can speak up a little bit more.
Oh, great. That's perfect. Perfect. Okay. So now when you are going through the process of certifying, tell us what do you get to do as a certifier? Because I know that as a consumer advocate, I'm pretty much limited to what the advertising is about a product. What are the listed ingredients? Are the selling points and things like that? Like I'll go to a website and it has information, but it's not necessarily the whole story. And that a lot of times when I ask questions, manufacturers are reluctant to give me information. But as a certifier, you need to be able to see everything that's going on, I'm assuming, so that you can make your evaluation. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. Actually, anybody that's applying for certification with us has to agree to share any information with us. So they submit to us a plan of how they are going to meet the organic standards, and then we evaluate that plan to the criteria to see how well it meets it, see if there's anything that they need to change. We also do an on-site inspection, and I think that's where a lot of the important things really happen, because then we get to see really behind the scenes how things are actually being done and if it matches what they say they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
We can see what inputs are actually being used, and we can see their record keeping and see how well things are documented as far as traceability. We want to know that the organic material they say they are using is actually being used in that product. And same thing with the chemicals and the textile auxiliaries.
This is so interesting. Can you just give us more details, like a walkthrough? Give us a description, or you don't have to tell us what the product is you're describing, but just so that listeners can get a real idea.
You mean a walkthrough of the inspection process?
Just like if somebody came to you, just give us more details of what you do. If somebody came to you and said, I want to get a certification, the first thing that you would do is just you've just said, but with more detail. Or like,
sure.
what's it like when you go do the inspection process? What are the kinds of things you're looking for? What do you see? What are some of the, I just want us to all have more reality on when somebody sees that it says it's certified organic, what does that actually mean?
Okay, absolutely.
Yeah.
So if it's certified organic, that means that it has been evaluated by a third party. So it's one thing if the manufacturer says this is organic, but they don't have any claims or any anything extra to back up that claim. So that's what we do. So we're an external third party. We don't have any other relationship with the client. They will submit an application to us, and as I mentioned before, that's their plan for complying with the organic standards. They submit details about where they're getting their organic fiber. They submit details about what chemicals are going to be used, and if they've been pre-evaluated for GOT to use. They submit maps and layouts of where things are stored and how organic products are separated from non-organic products. They detail record-keeping practices, and then, again, all of the social criteria. So they will have to provide policies and evidence that they meet the social criteria, which is, again, similar to the fair trade item. So we review that entire application in detail, and that's when we might find some little things that need to be corrected, or sometimes we'll find some big things that are really big red flags and would mean that they can't be compliant. But that's the main review, and then after that we go do the physical inspection. So we'll go to their warehouse or their mill, depending on what type of processing they are doing. and we take a checklist and we walk through the entire process. And typically what I do is have them walk me through every step that they take from the raw organic product coming in to their finished product. And so you can really see what is being done at every step. And we might collect samples for testing. We might collect copies of records and things like that as well. So, and then after the inspection, we perform another review to determine if they are compliant, and if they are, then that's when the certificate is issued. So all in all, the certification process will typically take 2 months, maybe three. It really depends on how complete the application is to begin with. But that's the certification process in a nutshell. I find that a lot of my work is at a desk reviewing inputs and looking at maps and reviewing test reports and a lot of those kinds of documentation. So I really enjoy when I get to go out into the field and do the inspections. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, I imagine it would be. I know I like to like go to organic farms and visit and go to factories and see what they're doing. And it can be a lot of fun to do that. So we're coming up on the break pretty soon, so I don't want to ask you another long question. But I think that when people see that that something's been certified, that they don't really understand everything that has really gone into it. And that it just is amazing to me how when somebody has to make a plan, it's like, I know that if I were to make a plan of everything that I was going to do, say, to take a trip to go someplace, and that I would have to list every single detail of that, that would be very difficult. Just the action of making a plan and saying, this is how we're going to do everything, and then doing it exactly according to plan. That's a pretty amazing thing that right there, just right there, that's an amazing thing. So we're going to go to break and we'll be right back. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. My guest today is Carlin Warner. She's the textile certification specialist for OneCert, an organic certification company in Lincoln, Nebraska. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Carlin Warner. She's the textile certification specialist for OneCert, an organic certification company, and she certifies textiles to the Global Organic Textile Standard. Carlin, I wanted to ask you to explain about the difference between a GOTS certified fabric or a fabric that says that it's organic. Is there a difference? And then what if a product says that it's GOTS certified? What do all of those things mean? How does a consumer know what to look for in a textile?
Well, the best way to know if something is GOTS certified is to look for the logo. And if you aren't familiar with the GOTS logo, it's kind of a green circle with a white colored shirt kind of shape in the middle, and then it says Global Organic Textile Standard around the outside.
And at ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com, in the description of today's show, I put the logo so that everybody can see it and recognize it.
Perfect. Well, you can take a look at it there. That's the best way to identify a fabric or a finished product as GOTS certified. And sometimes you might find that there are some false claims out there. So if you're worried that a product is labeled as GOTS certified, but it might not actually be, the best thing that you can do is to go to the GOTS website, which is global-standard.org. And they actually have a public database of all of the certified operations online. So you can search for the company or the manufacturer identified along with that label.
So if somebody were to see GOTS certification on a fabric, then that means that the fabric itself I guess the difference, here's what I want to clear up. If you see USDA on a label, then what the USDA certification is, organic certification is for, is that they're certifying the agricultural product, the agricultural material. They're not actually certifying the product, right? In textiles.
Actually, I do not think that the USDA allows their logo to be used on textiles unless the entire processing of the textile product has been done according to their standards, which, as you know, have been written for food. So it's very difficult. It supposedly can be done, but it is very difficult.
Well, isn't that why the global, why GOTS was invented, is so
correct.
That there would be a standard specific for the manufacture of textile products?
Right, because there's a lot of differences, obviously, between food and dyeing fabric. And, I mean, there are things that we will wear that we wouldn't put in our mouth, and probably vice versa. So it makes sense to have different standards. So the raw fiber that is used in the GOTS products could have come from USDA-certified fields or other equivalent organic standards, but that's usually the extent of certification of textiles under the NOP standards.
So I guess the point I'm trying to make is that somebody could say, this is organic fabric, and that then they might produce a certification that says that this cotton is certified organic as an agricultural product. But that doesn't say anything about how the fabric was produced.
Right. It just speaks to the ingredient, basically.
Right. And so where GOTS is important is because it has a standard for the entire production of that fabric.
Yes. Everything from ginning to the finished product, and even through importing and distribution. Those are all parts that are certified. So really the only ones that don't have to be certified are the retailers. And that's only if they aren't doing any processing.
Right. This came up actually on another show where we were talking about organic personal care products. And the person that I was interviewing was talking about the importance of certifying the retailers, because in a food setting, and you can tell me if this applies or not in a textile setting, but in a food setting, that you could do something like in a store, you could take a natural food store, you could take a organic lettuce out of the bin and bring it over to the deli section or their little restaurant, and that they could say, well, this is organic salad now, but they aren't certified to prepare that salad in an organic way.
Right. They could do something in the preparation step that would make it not organic if they actually were being certified.
Right, right.
And that's really true. We run into that a lot with finished, like, T-shirt products, for example. So we have a GOTS-certified T-shirt. Someone takes it and prints on it, and then they want to sell it as GOTS-certified, but technically they can't.
Right, that's a very good example. That's a very good example. And particularly with toxics, that's a very good example, because here you have this GOTS certified organic T-shirt, and then they put a toxic ink that is emitting toxic fumes, and that's not a GOTS certified product. Are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Okay, I thought maybe we might have dropped the line. I didn't hear you. So something like a if it was a GOTS certified organic T-shirt, unprinted, and then they print it with a toxic ink that's now outgassing toxic fumes, that is not a GOTS certified T-shirt.
Correct. Right. That would make it not GOTS certified.
Right. That's a really good example. So then when we get to the level of a product, you can also certify a product. Like I know on my website, I list Naturepedic, which is GOTS certified to make mattresses.
Okay.
And the whole entire mattress is certified.
You can have GOTS certified mattresses. That's something that's been popping up a little more often lately. GUTS does allow certain other ingredients to be used other than the organic fiber, and so that can allow for the frame and supports and different parts of the mattress.
And so if you had, like, do you have any other kinds of products that are being certified, like clothing or something, where they would have to use buttons or zippers or things?
Yeah, there are a lot of clothing items that use buttons and zippers, and even, like, inlays and embroidery threads and other fiber materials have to be kind of evaluated.
Well, we'll talk more about this after the break. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. My guest today is Carlyn Warner. She's a textile certification specialist at OneCert, and she certifies textiles and textile products to the Global Organic Textile Standard. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Carlyn Warner, textile certification specialist for OneCert. It's an organic certification company in Lincoln, Nebraska. Carlyn, what are some of the things that sometimes might come up when you're reviewing the plan? What are some of the things that you might see that need to be corrected?
Well, it can really vary depending on what the operation is involved in. But one of the biggest things I would say is they have listed inputs, chemical inputs, whether it's dyes or other textile auxiliaries, that are not GOTS approved. And the way that is done is that the manufacturers of these textile inputs actually submit information to certifiers like myself, and we review them, and they get put on a positive list for that company. So they're essentially pre-approved or pre-screened.
So these are these are chemicals or ingredients, I should say, right, where there is a positive approved list, so that as a certifier, all you need to do is go down the list and say, this is already approved, so therefore it's approved in the product. I think that's a really important point to make for consumers, because I'm always looking at, well, how do professionals like you, how are you evaluating products? Because I'm having to evaluate products as a consumer advocate, but then the consumer down the line, every single consumer is evaluating products. And so this whole idea of the pre-approved positive list is just as important, if not more important, than the pre-approved negative list. It's approved to be negative. How would you say that? Approval is a positive thing. It's the prohibited list. So there's the prohibited list, and then there's the positive okay list. And I think that I know for myself, whether I write that list down or not, that I have that list in my mind of chemicals I'm absolutely not going to use and things that I know are okay. And I think that if every consumer would think in those terms, I think it would be easier to organize our thoughts about it.
Yeah, I do think it's a helpful way to think about it. And it definitely, I appreciate having the positive list and then the not allowed list as the certifier, because it makes things a lot more black and white. We know that it's already been evaluated and it either is or isn't allowed. So.
Yeah. Very good. So, okay, so sometimes you see things as you're evaluating the plan, you'll see something that isn't on the approved list but isn't on the restricted list either?
Yeah, so sometimes we'll come across some inputs that the company has just been using for a really long time and they like, and they've been told that it's eco-friendly or they've been told that it's fine or it's compliant, sometimes even though have been told that it meets the GOTS criteria, but that's not sufficient. We need to know that it has been evaluated in detail by a certifier in order for it to be used.
Your positive approved list has, each of those things have been evaluated by a certifier, and that's why it's on the positive approved list. So there could be something that meets the qualifications for the positive approved list, it just hasn't been certified.
Right. And so in that case, then I always encourage our clients talk to their supplier and have their chemical supplier submit it for approval to a certification body. Because it's a fairly simple process. We just have to take a look at the formulation. We need to see all of the ingredients and an MSPS with some important pieces of data about the toxicity and biodegradability and stuff like that. But yeah, I would say that's the biggest roadblock that we come to with people that are doing wet processing, like the dyeing and printing and finishing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, tell us, like, what are the different aspects of the process of making a textile that you're looking at? I mean, you start with the fabric and you end up with you start with the raw material and you end up with a piece of fabric. But what are the different steps that it goes through where you might be encountering toxic chemicals?
Sure. Okay. So the first step is usually for cotton. It's usually ginning, which is mechanical, and there's usually no inputs at that stage. But if you're working with organic wool, the first stage is scouring. So right away, the first next processing step, you will encounter inputs. So right there, there's usually a lot of detergent type of chemicals that are used, and so that's something that we have to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, the next stage would be spinning the wool or cotton or silk or whatever fiber we're working with. Sometimes a wax or some similar lubricant type of thing might be used in the spinning process. Same thing for knitting and weaving. Sometimes there are some eights that are used. And for weaving, sometimes the yarns are sized, so they're actually coated in something to make them stronger during the weaving process. That's something you have to look at. And then we start to get into more of the wet processing stages. Like I mentioned, the dyeing and the printing and the finishes that use wet ingredients. There's obviously a lot of chemicals at those stages.
And one other one that I would mention that's
important for the organic textiles is a lot of times. So if you do the sizing for weaving, then a lot of times they use organisms to remove the sizing material. So we have to make sure that they're using GMO-free organisms for that.
Mm. So if the organisms are not GMO-free, like they probably would be for anything that isn't certified by you, then did those GMOs affect the end user in any way? Like, are they still there on the clothing?
I don't know if I can answer that 100% for sure, but it's usually enzymes that are used, and it's because they can break down the starches that are used for sizing. I'm not sure if it leaves any residue. There's always a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
But I think mainly God just doesn't like to use GMO at any stage. That's something that is strictly prohibited. I don't know
yes.
if it's more of an
yes.
ethical standpoint.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, this is like GMO-free textiles, and I think that that's a good thing. I just think that we shouldn't be using GMOs at all for anything. They just, they're unnatural.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, there's no need really to use them. So once something goes through this whole process, then you issue the certification. So what about marketing of this? That is there anything besides a label? Is there anything that GOTS is doing to help consumers understand it better or look for the label?
I think it's an ongoing process, and they've been trying to do a little bit more consumer awareness. But it's something that I hope it grows a lot more in the next coming years. I know in Europe, the GOTS label is actually fairly recognizable, but here in the U.S., it's kind of rare to see. It hasn't really caught on enough to get a whole lot of consumer awareness. But aside from, you know, using the logo and encouraging people to get certified and use the logo. There are some other campaigns out there about using organic cotton, and I don't know if you've seen the Cottons On campaign. I think it originates in England, maybe, but it's kind of related to the GOTS standards. They encourage the GOTS standards.
Could you say that again? Because you kind of broke up, and I didn't get what is the other standard.
Oh, it's not a standard. It's like a campaign, kind of, I guess. It's like a marketing campaign for organic cotton, and they just call it Cottoned On.
So they say,
have you cottoned on? Yeah, it's kind of an interesting website. I encourage you to check it out.
And it's just cottonon.com?
I believe so.
I'll look that up.
I looked at it yesterday, but I can't remember.
Okay, good. Good.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've reached the end of the show. Is there any final words that you'd like to say of anything we haven't covered?
I don't think so. I think we pretty much covered it all. I don't really have anything to add at this point, unless there's something that you have to ask.
Well, no, we actually have less than a minute left anyway. But thank you so much for being here. And I think that we've learned a lot today about what the certification process is about. That's Carlin Warner. And she's with OneCert, and their website is OneCert.com. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and you can go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com and find out more about the different shows that are on. You can listen to those shows, the previous shows. You can find out who's going to be on tomorrow. You can also go across the top. There's a menu that shows different parts of my website. One of them, you just click on shop, and you'll see that as you go through it, that there are different websites that sell GOTS certified textile products of various types and all kinds of other toxic free products. I have more than 500 websites listed where you can buy toxic free products and live without the exposure to toxic chemicals that we're talking about every day on this show. So please join me again tomorrow. Listen to shows whenever you'd like, 24 hours a day. And this is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindell. Be well.